Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Our Project Milwaukee, the Currency of Water series concludes now with a final look at the academic connection to Milwaukee's attempt to become a global water hub. As far-reaching as our goals might be, so are our competitors. Places as close as Michigan and as far away as Israel are developing their own water industries, and academic institutions there, like those here, are playing a significant role. Professor Elon Adar says that's especially true for Israel. Adar is the director of the Zuckerberg Institute for Water Research at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev. He explains to Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce that for Israel, developing water technology is less about economic gain and more about providing a basic necessity.
Since the establishment of the State of Israel, and even before that, we in Israel made it like a slogan. Water will not be the limiting factor for our development. And as you may know, we started from scratch, or almost from scratch, and it is arid or semi-arid land, and water is a scarce commodity. And in order to develop the region, to develop the country, and bearing in mind that water should not be the limiting factor, you know, you have to overcome the obstacles, and that is the best platform to develop the most advanced technology associated with water, water development, water supply, management, so on.
Are there specific water needs that Israel has that haven't yet been met by technologies that still need to be developed?
Well, there is always a need. I mean, we have to make it more efficient. We have to make it cheaper. We definitely will have to come with new water, I mean, for the coming 18, 20, 22 years. I mean, we already consume far beyond what nature provides us with. And if we shall follow the prediction that the population west of the Jordan River will be doubled in so-called 18, 20, 25 years, and here there is no much difference between pessimist and optimist, and bearing in mind that we already consume what nature provides us with, we shall have to come with additional artificial / new water. New water means desalination of seawater, desalination of brackish groundwater, desalination of treated sewage or effluent. So it is expensive, and definitely there is a lot of room for new development in order to make it more efficient, to decrease the price. For the time being, for every cubic meter, sorry, for the metric system that I use, we still need 3.75 kilowatt hour of energy, which is not a lot, but it is substantial.
So Israel's goal toward becoming a water technology hub is really based on needs, not so much a desire for more economic development.
It is based on needs, definitely. And this is usually the best trigger for scientific innovation and later on for development. Indeed. I mean, it started from the fact that we wanted to expand our agricultural industry in order to be so-called self-supplied or more efficient in growing certain products. So we made whatever we could to develop the most advanced irrigation technology. Now we are not talking about irrigating the land. We are not even irrigating the root zone. We simply irrigate the plant. In many, many farms in Israel, the irrigation efficiency reached almost 91-92%, the highest rate in the world. We introduced the so-called pulse subsurface irrigation system, subsurface drip irrigation system, so on and so forth. So, yeah, these kind of needs were served as trigger for further innovations, development, and technology.
What steps has Israel been taking to become a global water research and industry capital?
Well, the objective was not to become a capital. The objective was to try and close the gap between what is available water-wise and to meet the needs of the end users. So with this kind of philosophy, and we were the first in the world to visualize and relate to water as a commodity, like oil, like gas. We know that it is a gift from nature. However, people worldwide are used to think and accept that water should be, you know, a gift from nature, free of charge. Well, in our region, would it be free of charge? It would not be sufficient for maybe half of the population. And in spite of the fact that we are in an arid and semi-arid region with limited water resources, we are doing very well considering the circumstances. We are doing very well because water is used in the most efficient way. We introduced new sources. Israel this year reused 75 of our sewage as reclaimed water, the highest rate in the world. Behind us, the second is Spain, below 20%. So it can be done. And, you know, the water is treated to such a level that it can be used by the agricultural industry without almost any limitations. On the other hand, end users are looking for species that can tolerate the water as is, like brackish or saline water, with, let's say, 3 or 4 grams per liter, comparing to seawater, which contains 35 grams per liter. And there are many, many crops that can take it. And we went even further, developing by artificial means the species that can tolerate it. We now grow in the Negev Desert species of wines, grapes, that can tolerate very saline water. And we try to look for some kind of different market, like aquatic agricultural industry, fish farms, shrimp farms in the desert, based on brackish saline water.
So how does the Zuckerberg Institute for Water Research fit into this broader national goal of trying to be as efficient with water and as conservation-minded as possible?
First, our main goals and objectives is teaching and research. The need for additional water, the so-called atmosphere of looking for new innovation, creates the best platform for research, for new ideas. New ideas and the market, so-called, trigger the research. So we are pretty much motivated by the so-called black holes, the deficiencies in the water arena, which attract researchers, faculty from our institute, as well as from other institutes in Israel, to try and overcome the deficiencies.
What are some of the areas of research that you're looking into?
In our particular institute, we have 2 major departments. One is desalination and water treatment, which accommodate mostly chemical and water engineers. The other department is the environmental hydrology and microbiology, which deals with water production, water distribution, water treatment, trying to improve the water resources. I don't know if you know, but substantial amount of our resources, the groundwater reservoirs, have been contaminated. And it's very easy to give up those contaminated sources, providing that we would have alternative sources. Not having alternative sources, we have to look for reclaiming this water. So, yes, these are the directions, trying to improve membrane technologies in order to make the desalination more efficient, not just seawater, not just brackish water, but also desalination of effluents, of sewage water. So, you know, the common membranes available on the market are not really the most efficient one for desalinating treated sewage water. So we try to improve those membranes to avoid biofoulings.
Well, you've made it clear that Israel hasn't exactly, the goal hasn't been to become the water technology capital. And in that sense, it's been cooperating with other places that have been developing water technologies, like Milwaukee, like Michigan. I know Wisconsin's Governor Doyle recently made a trade trip to Israel, which included in part discussions about water technology. And similarly, Michigan's governor made a trip to Israel. What's the benefit of developing these relationships with other places that are trying to become water technology hubs for Israel?
Look, it is very clear that what, you know, maybe 1 or 2 generations ago, people thought, especially in Western Europe and North America, that water is the problem of the developing world. Now, even in Western Europe, water is also a problem for other different reasons, not quantity-wise, but quality-wise. the quality of the water resources in the industrialized world, unfortunately, has been deteriorated. So nowadays, it doesn't make sense to isolate your scientific activities. And the trend in many sciences, including the water sciences, is to collaborate and take the benefit of that. And definitely, if you can join and invite more brains into the same research arena, why not? It just contributes to the so-called efficiency and the rate on which the expected results might be achieved. And we collaborate with anyone that is willing to collaborate with us. And we can see that some of our research is triggered by problems that are not so-called from the region, from the Mediterranean region, or from Israel, triggered by other nations' needs or water authorities' needs. And I think that this is a win-win situation for science and for practical aspects as well.
Well, Eilan Adar, thank you so much for speaking with us today about Israel's efforts to develop water technology.
You're more than welcome.
Eilan Adar is the director of the Zuckerberg Institute for Water Research at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce from his home in Israel. If you missed any of our Project Milwaukee, the Currency of Water segments, or want to revisit any of them, they're all available on our website. Go to WUWM.com and click on Project Milwaukee. Coming up next, Paul Kosodowski joins us for Arts on Deck. We'll be back with some suggestions for things to hear and see this weekend when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.